Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Going free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Friday. You made it to the end of the week from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. It's a Super Talk Eagle Hour. Luke Johnson in Laurel. Kelly Sander and Michael Mergens in Hattiesburg. Great show for you today coming up. Alan Martell, the head golf pro, former Southern Miss golf player down at Grand Bear Golf Club in Biloxi. We'll talk some golf with him as the Masters week continues. We'll catch up with Patrick McGee in the second segment today as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft, talk about the Saints, maybe some Southern Miss players targeted for that. But first segment, as always, brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue, located in a community near you. Our buddy Justin has his great team ready to serve you out near Turtle Creek Mall in Hattiesburg, catering beautiful spring days like this. Dickie's is always the choice to make. Kelly, I assume 30 miles to the south of where I am, it's just as beautiful in Hattiesburg as it is in
there. Is not a cloud in the sky here, Luke. Perfect for some Sun Belt Conference baseball.
Absolutely. Before we get to that, breaking news off the top. Pete Nakos from On3 reporting about an hour ago, Southern Miss quarterback Billy Wiles has entered the transfer portal as a grad transfer. So, portal opens today, Sander, and one Golden Eagle quarterback jumps right in.
Well, there's a lot of quarterbacks in that quarterback room. And, of course, Billy Wiles came here out of the transfer portal from Clemson. So, you know, people just have to do what they think they have to do, I guess, until this football situation sorts itself out.
We'll talk more about that later. Let's jump straight to baseball. Southern Miss on the road in the state of Georgia in the ATL to take on Georgia State this weekend. Who better to talk to us about Georgia State baseball than Dave Cohen in his 26th year as the Georgia State broadcast coordinator, the play-by-play voice for football, basketball, and baseball at Georgia State. And Dave, how's your Friday?
It's going pretty good. Just getting ready for a little Georgia State Southern Miss baseball this weekend. Really windy here in Atlanta today, which if it's the wind is blowing out to left or left center, could have a lot of baseballs out of the ballpark if it keeps up. But, yeah, looking forward to a good one. Georgia State coming off a win over Jacksonville State in a non-conference game on Wednesday. And I know Southern Miss had a non-conference win as well midweek. So should be a good one. You got the second-place team, and Georgia State's tied for fourth. So should be a big weekend out here at the ballpark at Panthersville. Looking forward to it.
Georgia State 16-16 overall. It's been kind of a little roller coaster, Dave. I mean, the Georgia State started out hot, 7-2, swept South Alabama, series wins over Monroe and James Madison, and then got swept by Georgia Southern, and now 7-5 after that 7-2 start.
Yeah, you know, part of the problem recently has been, and you can even go back, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago when we played Georgia over in Athens and lost that game 10-1 before heading down to Statesboro. Too many errors. I mean, even in the James Madison series, which Georgia State won 2 out of 3, they had 10 errors in the three games, 4 in game 1, 4 in game 2, and 2 in game 3. And then they had an error at Georgia, 2 errors at Georgia Southern in game 1, an error, a couple of errors in game 2 at Georgia Southern. You know, in game 2, they played error-free in game 3, but still lost the game late. So, you know, as Brad Stromdahl, Georgia State's head coach, has told me on more than one occasion, and you don't have to be a baseball scientist to figure this out. Don't commit too many errors and don't walk too many batters, and you got a pretty good chance as long as you're swinging the bats halfway decent.
Kelly?
When you look at this this Georgia State team, the Southern Miss team really doesn't have one guy that you would say is their definite leader. Conversely, the Panthers, Will Mize is definitely your guy. Over 200 career hits. He's hitting .336. He's already got 8 homers and 30 RBIs. What does Will Mize mean to the leadership of this Panther team?
Well, you know, you just made mention before you guys got to me about, you know, the new world of college athletics that we live in with regards to the transfer portal and so on. The cool thing about Mize is that, you know, he's been here the whole stretch. He came here out of Brookwood High School in Snellville, Georgia, which is just kind of to the northeast a little bit of downtown Atlanta. And so he grew up in the program. He has been a part of the program. And now he is one of the leaders in that clubhouse and of the program. And he's, again, he's been here his whole career, never, no transfer portal talk, none of that. So, you know, they say lead, follow, or get out of the way. And certainly since he's been here, you know, he has moved into that that leadership position, both on the field, as you mentioned, currently hitting .336. He has started all 32 games this year. He's the leader in the clubhouse with 8 home runs. He's driven in 30. Just to throw out a couple of his stats, but again, you know, when you look at when you look in clubhouses, the fact that you can have some consistency and some consistency in a leadership position, you know, for Georgia State, it's definitely a guy like Will Mize, and you know, you could look at another guy who's kind of growing up in the program. He's only hitting .263 right now, but JoJo Jackson is another one of these guys that has, you know, came here out of high school, has been in the program. And is one of those what I'll call up-and-coming guys. A few of the other guys, you know, that swing the bats pretty well and have been consistently, these are transfer guys. Michael McGinnis, who came over from Samford University in Birmingham. Luke Boynton, who started out at Nebraska and then was down at a JUCO in Florida and then came back to Atlanta. Our starting shortstop, Matt Ruiz, has been consistent, solid at that spot, transferred from South Florida. So, but again, to get back to Will Mize, Mize has been here the whole time. He has grown up as a Georgia State baseball player and now leads in the clubhouse as a Georgia State baseball player.
Well, Dave, you mentioned McGinnis. Man, he's somebody the Eagles are going to have to contend with tonight because he's on fire right now over about the last 15 games or so, hitting over .400.
Yeah, sure is. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Brad Stromdahl, our head coach, has been able to use him. He's been primarily in left field or a designated hitter role, but that's one of the reasons why they were so interested and happy to bring him back to the Atlanta area. I will say, too, another guy who we have seen at a couple of different positions who has been swinging the bat okay. You look at his home run number, he's second in home runs or tied for second with Luke Boynton with 7. And that's Ryan Dial, who transferred back to the Atlanta area as a grad transfer after playing over at Auburn. And we've seen him at first base. We've seen him behind the plate doing some catching. We have seen him in the DH role. He's another guy like McGinnis who has come back to the Atlanta area as a transfer who has the capability, and you mentioned what you gave McGinnis' stats the last 15 games. Dial has the capability as well to do some damage at the plate, but also somebody that, again, Coach Stromdahl can – put it first, can put behind the plate, and using that DH role. It's been a really welcome addition back into the program or back to the program this year for Georgia State.
Luke, it's hard to believe that the Eagles and Panthers have not played baseball against each other in 44 years.
It's wild to think. McGinnis is a name, too, that people need to remember because he's 13 of 15 in stolen bases. Southern Miss has had a tough time throwing runners out. Let's talk about the mound, Dave. About 2 minutes left here. You mentioned off air Rob Evans, the normal Friday guy, not throwing tonight. Instead, Panthers going to throw out a freshman.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not exactly sure why Evans is not getting his normal Friday night start. I'll find out when I get to the ballpark, but you're right. Brad going to throw a 6'6 freshman out of Ringgold, Georgia, Ross Norman. Has pitched pretty well out of the bullpen in recent appearances, although this will be his 5th start of the year. He's got 4 starts and 9 appearances. The ERA a little high, a little over 8. And the other number that's a little concerning to me is the walks to strikeout ratio. He's walked 19 to this point and has struck out 16. And, you know, as I said, too many walks. ultimately end up with guys crossing home plate, which can be a problem. So, you know, if he can cut down on the walks and keep the ball out of the air, because again, it's pretty windy in Atlanta today.
Yeah,
left center, left field fence could see a lot of action if they get some balls up into the wind stream. But Ross Norman has looked pretty good the last couple of three times that I've seen him on the mound, and I'm looking forward to him making that number five start tonight.
About 45 seconds left. Tell us real quick about Davis Chastain, 28 strikeouts in only 16 innings.
Boy, he had a great outing the other night at Jacksonville State, came in and shut the Gamecocks down in order for Georgia State to end that four-game losing skid. When you talk about a guy, he comes out of the bullpen, ERA is under 3, 2.70. You look at his record, he's 1-2. He's got 11 appearances, all in relief, 16 2/3. And again, when it comes down to walks to strikeouts, he's only walked 11 and has struck out 28, but pitched really, really well at Jacksonville State on Wednesday afternoon.
Kelly, 7-5, Georgia State, can't take him for granted for sure.
6 o'clock start tonight, and you can catch all the action on ESPN+. And real soon, the Panthers are going to have a new baseball complex. Dave, real quick.
Well, real quick, hopefully sooner than later, the site of the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, which is right across the street from Turner Field, which your fans will know that's where we now play football, is now known as Center Park Stadium in its third iteration. It was Olympic Stadium in 96. The Braves took it over for about 20 years, and now it's Georgia State's football stadium. But right across the street is the site of the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. Georgia State owns that property as well. And the plan is to build about a 1,500 to 2,000-seat college baseball stadium on that site, which would be fantastic. Real quick, the cool thing is our baseball program plays about 15 minutes outside of downtown here at Panthersville, but they are housed at Turner Field. Their locker room is the Braves' old locker room at Turner Field.
Good stuff.
They use the indoor hitting facility. They've got all the Braves' old facilities. The only thing we don't do is play baseball there, but they are housed out of Turner Field.
Dave, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate you being on today.
All right. Always happy to do it. Good luck to you guys as well.
Thanks. This is Dave Cohen, play-by-play voice for Georgia State. We'll take a break and be back on the Eagle Hour right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Back on a Friday, appreciate Dave Cohen joining us. Golden Eagles taking on Georgia State Panthers this weekend. Kelly, I think it's a 5.
Yeah, 5 o'clock our time.
First pitch.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. 6 o'clock Atlanta time, 5 o'clock our time. Right.
Nico Mazza against Ross Norman. Dave told us that Norman, the pitcher for Georgia State, is a true freshman. So, be interesting matchup tonight. Yeah, 5 p.m. first pitch from Atlanta. It is Friday, so let's go down to the Big Easy and talk to our good friend Patrick McGee of NOLA.com. Patrick, no more LSU basketball. Have you caught a breather this past week?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's hard to explain. It doesn't stop. I mean, just this morning we published like 4 different stories on LSU women's basketball, and it's just all going crazy on the website. And, of course, the Saints signing a quarterback, that also is a fairly big deal this morning. It's just been it's kind of hard to say I'm catching a breather when it's just been a super busy day so far.
Let's begin there. So Saints do sign another quarterback into the mix-up. Tell us about, I think this name will be familiar to our listeners, but you tell us. Tell us about the new quarterback.
Yeah, former Texas A&M quarterback Kellen Mond. He's been with the Vikings, I think the Bears, if I'm not mistaken. Browns, maybe. He's bounced through. Yeah, Browns. That's where he was last. He hasn't seen a whole lot of time onto the field, but he's a guy that's always been regarded as a pretty talented guy. Just watching him at Texas A&M, he was a pretty good quarterback. So they brought in Nathan Peterman, kind of a journeyman, never been very good whenever he's been given an opportunity to play. So this is just kind of one more guy to throw in there with Hayner to see who can kind of take those number two and number three spots. So, but I think adding Mond is a good idea considering, you know, what the Saints had to work with it, you know, up to that point.
Yeah, I think the connection I was reading is actually on NOLA.com in Matthew Paras. Is that your staff writer's name?
Yeah, it's just Paris.
Paris. Matthew Paris's article. Clint Kubiak was actually with the Vikings when Mond was drafted. But he's a third-round draft pick, which nowadays, you know, I mean, I know the first four quarterbacks will go this year in the first four picks, but, I mean, third round is still a highly valued guy. So, I mean, obviously, Saints, this may be a quarterback that the Saints think could actually, you know, maybe contribute, or is he just there to push Carr or be a safety valve?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at him, he could legitimately be the backup quarterback this year. And you talk about the third round draft pick. These days, when you get drafted in the third round as a quarterback, you're like, you know, they're expecting you to be at least the number two guy pretty quick, and hoping you can develop into a starter within 2 to 3 years, something along those lines. Obviously, that hasn't happened for Mond yet, but yeah, I mean, this is a guy that's got a lot of intangibles. A great athlete, always been. I just remember really him being kind of a natural thrower, just had really nice natural motion to him. So, yeah, I mean, this is a guy that seems like a quality addition, especially when you kind of stack him up against Nathan Peterman.
I think, too, though, a lot of these offensive coordinators will go get some of these guys that they have worked with before that know their system and can really kind of be a coach on the field as well, an extra set of eyes, somebody that knows the playbook.
Yeah, that's Peterman basically kind of fits that. That's the reason he's in. He worked with Jonico there with the Bears. So you're bringing in two guys that know the system well and kind of help grease the wheels a little bit for both Carr and Hayner.
So do the Saints, have they leaked at all as to what they plan on? And I know it's let the draft come to us, but what do the odds makers say now, Patrick, as to where they go?
Well, I mean, it's pretty darn obvious they could go the first one's probably going to be an offensive tackle for the Saints. And after that, you go into the second, I think, at what, the number 45 pick overall, they could go back to offensive tackle pretty easily. You're looking at, Fashanu, I'm probably butchering his last name. He's a guy that's Penn State guy that has been tied to the Saints for a while now. And so, yeah, I mean, basically any tackle you think of, I think, well, the first thought was like, well, we've got to address left tackle. But now they're sitting here like, well, which one do we address first, right tackle or left tackle? Ramchick is very much a question mark, could possibly miss the season. So I think there's a possibility that the Saints could look to address the right side as opposed to the left side. But my guess is that they'll go left tackle, or maybe somebody's flexible enough to kind of fit in on either side.
You tackle is kind of like quarterback. I mean, we may have four quarterbacks in the top four picks or maybe four quarterbacks in the top five picks. Tackles are kind of that way. I mean, 7 through 14, the Saints at 14, four tackles supposed to be there. I really like the guy from Penn State, 6'6". And I think, again, this is where they were with Trevor Penning. I mean, this is the exact same spot. If for some reason, you know, maybe somebody jumps up there, you know, a pick happens, somebody trades up or somebody doesn't trade, you're still in good shape if two other guys get taken. It seems like there's four or five offensive tackles. And, of course, you got to do with the guy that you grade the best. But it seems as if the Saints, if a pick fell here or there, the Saints might have a choice of possibly the second, third, or fourth best offensive tackle in the entire draft.
Yeah, and I think coming this draft, there isn't some thought, hey, there's a lack of, you know, tackles or offensive linemen kind of coming in this draft. So I think at 14, you're going to hit pretty good quality as long as you get your evaluations right and get your pick in. So I think the Saints are in a good position to kind of address what they need. I mean, they're not picking again against 45. He would like to pick a little earlier in the second round or something like that, but I think, you know, overall, I think the Saints are probably going to be able to accomplish what they want to.
Well, you got Pratt out of Oklahoma, or not Oklahoma, Alabama. He's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
If how to play this draft game with me for just a second. Say something crazy happens and, you know, like a Brock Bowers or McCarthy or somebody like Neighbors is there. I mean, you would basically leverage that for trade value. If Odunze or Neighbors, they're not going to be there. But I'm saying if a top two skilled position guy is there, I mean, you still think the Saints would leverage it for trade bait to get up into the second round, like you said?
Yeah, I mean, I think they need draft picks. So if they think they can move back, you know, say 4 or 5 spots and get somebody they want, plus maybe get themselves another pick or two, I say you absolutely do it. You know, this is a team that needs a jolt of youth, a jolt of talent. And that, of my opinion, that's how I would do things. So I'm in complete agreement that they should consider that if somebody falls into their lap that they necessarily don't want.
Patrick, there's another receiver that that the Saints have come to terms with, Equanimeous St. Brown, who many people would probably know. His brother is Amon-Ra St. Brown with the Lions. Is that they're brothers? Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't know that, but that makes sense. They have two very hard names.
Yes.
This is a big – I mean, this guy, Equanimeous, I'm going to call him St. Brown. He's a big guy. He's 6'5", 214. He's gotten playing time, but he's always been a guy that's worked off the bench. But I think it makes sense for the Saints to add kind of a big body on the outside. But this seems like a guy that can help out. He started 16 games in 2022, didn't have a big year, had 21 catches, 323 yards. This isn't a high-volume guy, but he's somebody who can help you in a pinch, and he's a veteran who can come in there and maybe have a good game here or there.
Well, I think his brother, the season he had with the Lions last year is going to make him one of the top picks, I think, in fantasy football this year.
That's just one of those names that you just memorize the first week and how to spell it as a journalist, Patrick, and then you'll never forget it again, right?
I have to check Krzyzewski every time I write it. I can't spell it.
and it's not pronounced any way that it's spelled at all. That's the one you can't really spell out very well.
That's a toughie.
About a minute left. Southern Miss baseball at Georgia State this weekend. Southern Miss football wrapping up. And we did – we led off just kind of mentioning this. Billy Wiles hitting the transfer portal. And my question is more general than that. But Southern Miss entered spring with 4 quarterbacks competing. Now it's down to 3. I guess this is the new normal about not just the transfer portals in the winter, but transfer portals immediately following spring practice.
Yeah, it's just how it is these days. I mean, I wonder if maybe it's, you know, the negative impact is there in terms of fans really having a hard time kind of connecting to these guys. They're just here and then they're not there just so quickly they're gone. So yeah, it's just part of the game now until they change the rules and do certain things. But yeah, these athletes are just on the move constantly. That transfer portal is just spinning.
Good stuff. Well, Patrick, we appreciate your time, man. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. Sander, would you be a 1, 2, or 3 time transfer guy?
I would be a 0 transfer. I would be glad if anybody would have me.
Mobay Beignet NIL deal for you?
Yo, I would love that. That would be a perfect situation.
Hey, got a good guest coming up.
Talking more golf with the Gulf States Region Mississippi Pro Golfer of the Year, Alan Martell, a Southern Miss graduate. We'll talk with him next from the Grand Bear on the coast when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. The game will be on tonight. That is a 5 o'clock start our time. Remember, Atlanta is an hour ahead of us, so Georgia State and Southern Miss will begin at 5. So what a place to stay after work. You know, grab a cocktail perhaps and enjoy an early dinner and watch the game with other Southern Miss fans. 4th Street Bar and Grill, big supporters of Southern Miss Athletics, and we're glad that they are. Time to talk golf. From the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, this is the Masters. Yeah, golf clap, quiet golf clap. As we talk golf, this segment with a guy who knows a little bit about Southern Miss golf, Alan Martell, joins us from the Grand Bear Golf Club on the coast. He is the 2023 Gulf States Region Pro Golfer of the Year in the state of Mississippi, and actually was at Southern Miss in the early 2000s. Alan, we welcome you, man. Man, are there a lot of guys with Southern Miss ties? Mark Yelverton, yesterday's guest.
Tim Yelverton.
Yeah, Tim Yelverton, Mark Blackburn. I mean, some great teachers out of Southern Miss. What's going on here?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I've been in Mississippi pretty much my entire life, and we've always had a good amount of teachers that do really well in golf in Mississippi. And VJ up there at Old Waverly is a great example. And, you know, just throughout the state, there's a lot of good guys that know a lot about golf.
Now, to the layperson, Alan, when you tell people that you're a golf pro, most people go, oh, well, have you won the Masters? You know, have you played in the U.S.? But there's different types of golf pros, yes.
Correct. You know, we're typically considered more what you call a club professional. So we run the day-to-day operations at country clubs, resort clubs, public facilities. We run the tournament operations, the membership, and then we also teach lessons as well. We do play golf tournaments professionally for cash, but that's in our Gulf States PGA section, you know, just our locale.
You know, Tim Yelverton was on the show yesterday as a Masters Week first round, of course, was yesterday. And as we see, Tiger Woods looks like Tiger's going to make the cut, but clearly at 48 years old, at the end of his career. I didn't get to ask him yesterday, is Scottie Scheffler generally assumed to be the next Tiger Woods?
Man, you know, he's kind of right on that border, I feel like. You know, if he wins this week and another major this year, then, I mean, it's going to be hard-pressed to say that he's not. But, I mean, if you go back and look at some of the stats, Tiger was unbelievably dominating. Like, yes, Scottie's winning a lot, but Tiger was winning by 15 shots at a time.
And yeah, well, and hardly anybody does that in any event now. Part of that is because everybody's just so doggone good now because of guys like you. Now, you're down at the Grand Bear, which was designed by Jack Nicklaus, who was one of the honorary starters at the Masters this week. But you've never gotten to meet Jack.
We haven't. No, you know, we're a Jack Nicklaus signature design golf course. So there's Jack Nicklaus design golf courses, and then there's signature. Signature means that he was on site, his hands were on, you know, the whole design process. But some of the staff here that's been here for Superintendent Alan Sullivan has been here for 25 years. He got to meet Jack a few times, was on site when he developed the place. So I haven't got to meet him yet, maybe one day.
Good stuff. Well, Martell, you and I have a mutual friend, and I'm very sorry that you are the friend of Darren McCaleb, my former partner in crime. I'm just kidding. Both of Coast guys. And so I'll just say this. I didn't plan to say this. The statute of limitations has run out. So Darren and I played around at the Hattiesburg Country Club. Uh-huh. And I show up and he's got the cart and we're proceeding. He's wearing our football cleats, like Nike football cleats, and he walks out onto the tee box. And I said, "What are you doing?" I know that doesn't surprise you, former Southern Miss great Darren McCaleb.
Now, can I give you a real quick story about Darren?
Go ahead.
So he worked out here for a little bit, and one of the guys that still works here when he was here, he went out and played one day with some of his buddies, and they had a call into the golf shop on number 6, and they're like, hey, these guys in front of us, they're playing really slow. Like, we don't know what they're doing. Well, Michael, the guy, goes out there. Darren and his buddy decided that it was so hot that they were going to swim in the Biloxi River in the middle of the golf. So we had to go speed up play and tell him to get out of the river. But no, he's an awesome guy. He's a great Southern Miss alumni. If you want to talk to somebody about Southern Miss and somebody who still loves Southern Miss, give Darren a call.
Alan Martell is with us, the Gulf States Region Pro Golfer of the Year in the state of Mississippi, 2023. I noticed that in Masters coverage, one of the things the PGA is trying to reinvigorate is golf itself. They say there's been a huge decline the past 5 to 10 years. And I remember in the late 90s, early 2000s, Alan, it seemed like there was a golf course going up on every corner. What has happened?
Yeah, COVID. You know, COVID changed golf forever. I got back into the golf business in about 2006, so a little bit before COVID. And then when COVID happened, it just exploded because it was opportunity for people to still, you know, participate in something athletic and outside and social distancing and all that good stuff. But, you know, I was telling somebody earlier, you know, at some point we're going to see the numbers of golf just level off. Do I think it's going to go back down? No. I think that at some point we're not going to have that percentage increase every year, but golf's in a great spot. I hope they can get something worked out with the PGA Tour and LIV, because I want to see tournaments like we're watching today. I want to see all the best players in the world playing together.
And one of the programs that the PGA instituted along with the other leaders in the game was First Tee, which was developed, I guess, 20, 25 years ago to try to get golf more inclusive of people of different backgrounds, ethnicities, correct, socioeconomic backgrounds. And when you look at the Masters field now, you're seeing a lot of Asians, you're seeing a lot of Africans, you're seeing a lot of Polynesians. So it looks like, yes, sir, one way or the other, golf is evolving that way.
Well, I mean, the Masters is pretty unique, and they give these amateurs exemptions, and some of the tournaments that get exemptions into the Masters are the Latin American Amateur Championship, the Asian American. So these kids in these other countries are, you know, that are growing up, they win one golf tournament and you get to play in the Masters. So it's a big opportunity. You throw drive, chip, and putt in with that, which Augusta's been phenomenal with. They're really contributing to growing the game.
One of the big excuses that people will say that it hasn't been very inclusive is because golf is expensive to play. Not only the equipment, but a round of 18 with a golf cart. But I don't know what the answer is there. Do you?
Yeah, you know, there's a big boom right now in short courses and par three courses, you know, trying to expedite rounds of golf to where people can, hey, I want to go play a round of golf and I can play a short course in 2 hours instead of 4.5 hours. So a lot of courses are adding on short course facilities, putting courses, par three courses to their current existing facilities with lights, visibility to play at night. And you know, the cost is less to maintain those things, which leads for the cost for the consumer to be less as well. But there's all kinds of initiatives to get people in golf. You know, I have a lot of programs out here, just different clinics, ladies clinics, junior clinics, men clinics, couple clinics, just to get people involved. You know, I'm not trying to create Masters winners every day. I'm just trying to create golfers for life.
Alan, Scottie Scheffler has just birdied, tied now with Bryson DeChambeau, 7 under. Bryson came out fired at 65 yesterday. Tim was telling us he was at Augusta earlier in the week working with his guys, and he said something that I found pretty astonishing. He said he had never seen the course that firm that fast, and maybe they did that because they knew the rain was coming in, but it seems like the course is biting back today.
Oh, yeah. I think they're getting all the wind that we had yesterday that's just really drying out the place. It's going to be a fun weekend. You know, Augusta has sub-air systems under pretty much the whole entire property, so they can maintain that moisture control fairly well. But I was watching the broadcast earlier, and it's going to get fun and fast. It's not going to be an easy weekend for whoever's there at the top.
Somebody was telling me about that. Can you explain to our listeners about that? What it's basically under,
yeah,
every green. I've heard it's under the tee boxes, and sometimes it's even under the walking areas, so patrons don't slip.
Correct. So sub-air, basically, before whatever they build a green, initially it was made for greens, and whenever they develop the green, they put this piping system underneath the soil level that helps maintain moisture levels. So, you know, if we get a big rain, you can flip on a switch, and it will suck the moisture out of the greens. That way they dry out faster and they maintain the playing surface better. Augusta National, probably one of the first places in the world that took it to a new level and decided they were going to put it in fairways and lower areas of the fairway. And even in some walking areas, it's extremely hilly at Augusta. The TV just does not do it justice. And I actually went a few years ago and I watched 2 or 3 people, you know, slip and fall in some areas that were wet. So the sub-air, it's very expensive. It's up, you know, in the probably $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 per green before you even install the green. But it's the reason why they're able to maintain those playing surfaces like they are.
Man, Alan, I wish they'd make that for my liver, where I could just throw a switch and suck all the toxins.
I'm with you. they spare no expense at Augusta, but I tell everybody it's the eighth wonder of the world. It doesn't matter if you're a golf professional or a golfer, a football player, a bowler. If you walk out on that place, there's no way you can't feel that it's special. I mean, it's incredible. So I tell everybody, regardless of golfer or not, if you get the chance to go, please check it out.
Well, Alan Martell, a Southern Miss guy who's now using his skill to make other – as he said, he's not necessarily out there to coach the next Masters winners. But he and some of the other Southern Miss guys that we've talked about Masters Week are doing their part. He's down at the Grand Bear.
If McCaleb comes and he brings me along, I will make sure he doesn't use football cleats on your golf course.
And no swimsuits.
Yeah, they'll run him off the course if he does that, for sure.
Please come, y'all, please come play. Thank y'all for having me on. And, I'd love to see you down at Grand Bear one day.
All right, Alan, thanks so much, buddy, for your time.
Thank you, guys.
When we come back, Luke Johnson will have a little bit about a lot of things. Southern Miss News and Notes next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Back on a Friday, last segment of the week brought to you by DBAT on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com, pro shop with everything you need softball and baseball related. 8 batting cages for softball, baseball, fastball, off speed. It's all there. DBAT in Hattiesburg. Lady Eagles softball getting ready for a home matchup against Georgia State. First pitch tonight, 6 p.m., tomorrow at 2, Sunday at noon. Coach Poole's troops with a sweep would get back to 500. 17-20 on the year, 5-7 in the conference. Congratulations to Southern Miss Lady Golfer Ragini Navet out of New Delhi, India, receiving an award that has not happened in almost 7 years. She is the Sunbelt Women's Golfer of the Week, announced yesterday, finished 8th this past weekend in the Brickyard Collegiate at Mercer. Second time in the last week she shot in the 60s. So congratulations to true freshman Ragini Navet of New Delhi, India. Lady Eagles getting ready for the Sunbelt Championship in Point Clear, Alabama next week. Beach volleyball. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, look, when you look at the Southern Miss golf programs on both sides, the men's and the women's side, it's so pivotal right now that they're doing well, which they are, with the onset of this new facility that's going to open up. And all you have to do is point to people like DJ Trulio, Mark Blackburn, Tim Yelverton, Alan Martell, guys like that who know a ton of people, right? And if everybody gets behind the Southern Miss golf cause, just with the people that they know, It's gonna make the golf program on both sides even that much better. So way to go, all of them.
And two names that we didn't mention that go without saying: James Ray Carpenter and Sam Hall.
I mean,
you talk about why Southern Miss is known golfing, and South Mississippi is known in the golf world is because of those guys. Beach volleyball on the road in Birmingham at the UAB Beach Volleyball Course. Take on Mercer in the morning at 8, North Alabama following that, and then UAB. So three matches tomorrow for the Lady Eagle volleyball team. Across the Sun Belt, Troy at App State, James Madison at Old Dominion, Coastal at Georgia Southern, Texas State at ULM, Marshall at Louisiana, Arkansas State at South Alabama, of course, the Golden Eagles over in the ATL. RPI-wise, entering the weekend, Coastal Carolina is 21. Southern Miss has moved up, but in between Coastal and Southern Miss, James Madison at 24. Eagles at 33. Georgia Southern at 50. Louisiana at 53. Old Dominion at 57. South Al at 72. Georgia State right behind them at 73. A few more teams in the top 100 of RPI. So, Kelly, let's go back to kind of the lead story today. We mentioned before we went on with Dave Cohen, Billy Wiles being reported by On3 that he has entered the transfer portal. Some of the other guys that report, Southern Miss Sports, Dema Mixon and Sam Sklar from the Hattiesburg American, both confirming that. So you got to think Will Hall setting his quarterbacks down, if you just kind of read between the lines, and Billy Wiles realizing that probably another guy is going to be the play caller. And in some ways, what you infer there is that, you know, Will Hall seems to be honest with these guys. And Billy Wiles will be a grad transfer. And so now, and then there were three, Crawford, Rotemaker, and White.
Yesterday in different media outlets, Coach Hall had kind of alluded to the fact that there would be some news today. He didn't get specific because it didn't open until today. But when you're talking about building a program, you know, for the future, and you have a lot of younger guys that are, you know, equivalent or just as good or have different skill sets that might fit in better with what they're trying to do, it only makes sense. And it's always a tough pill to swallow, you know, but I just don't know that you can ever go wrong telling the truth. You know, the old adage that if you never lie, you don't have to remember what story you told to what person. And you know, feelings might be hurt along the way, but once the smoke clears, you'll always look back and say, well, at least they were honest with me, which seems to be not very often nowadays.
Yeah, and I think, you know, credit to a culture like that that will try to encourage a guy to go where he can play.
Of course.
You know, and you want them to succeed.
Hey, well, you were looking at those baseball series, by the way. How about that Coastal Georgia Southern series this weekend?
Yeah, I think that's super pivotal. They're both tied actually Coastal's a game back at 7-5. Georgia Southern 8-4 coming off the sweep. I think it's a big series for Coastal. They lose a series that they're going to be 500 in the conference. So that's big. All right, about 20 seconds left for the week. I just want to give you an open mic. The conductor of the gravy train has apparently tuned in. Lauren Johnson is out there in Jones County riding the roads. Any weekend messages to send her? I don't call her that. That's what you and Bob call her.
Well, Lauren, at least be thankful that when Luke goes to play the Grand Bear, he's not going to have to pay for it. That's what it sounded like to me, that it was an open invitation to come and play.
You're told to go drive back in the you know,
yeah,
on the 18, there's a shed.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
I won't wear football cleats.
Yeah, don't wear football cleats for sure.
She
hey, Lauren.
She says hello, and you could never insult her.
And I hope that Bryson DeChambeau wins the Masters only because I have him in the pool.
I'd be so cool if Scotty did it. Max Homa. How about Sepp Straka,
yeah,
man, making a run? How about that? That'd be fun.
Having a good day. We'll have Coach Oz with us on Monday, hopefully talking about a big series win over Georgia State this weekend. That's Monday at 1. Until then, from all of us to all of you, Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.